Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, hold on one second.
You're listening to Critical Mass with Rick Franzi and Doug Feller. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show. Before we get started, let me just check with our two guests, make sure we've got a good connection since neither one of them are in the studio today. Gloria, can you hear me okay?
I can barely hear you, but I can hear you a little bit.
Okay. How about you, Ari?
I can hear you somewhat well, and it's difficult to hear your other guest, Gloria.
Okay. Ari, if you can just hold on for a second, we'll get back to you in about 20 minutes.
And, sure.
Okay. Let's see if we can make this work. Well, look, everybody, I'm Doug Gefeller. I'll be your host this afternoon since my partner Rick Franzi is enjoying his last day of vacation in Florida. This is our 25th broadcast, and in response to the positive feedback that we've received, we're now broadcasting on both Mondays and Tuesdays at 4 p.m. here on LA Talk Radio. So be sure to listen or download the shows that you may have missed by going to www.latalkradio.com/critical. Well, my partner Rick Franzi and I are business owners, just like many of you listening today, and we have been creating and facilitating CEO peer groups for 15 years here in Orange County under the banner of Renaissance Executive Forums. The forums are the opportunity for you to meet like-minded people and discuss the problems that are common to all businessmen today. Well, let me just tell you that last year Rick wrote the definitive book on CEO peer groups with the same title as this radio show, Critical Mass. I highly recommend that you add it to your reading list. You can find the book on Amazon.com. Just put in Rick Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I, under author, and it'll take you right to it. As for me, I'm a master certified coach by the International Coach Federation, the immediate past president of the Orange County chapter, and you can learn more about our coaching practice and our executive forums by going to www.criticalmassforbusinesses.com. That's criticalmass4businesses.com. Well, each week we invite leading business leaders to join us on the air to discuss what's going on in their business. Much like our executive forums, our goal here is to learn best practices from leaders who are active in the trenches today, facing the same issues that we're all dealing with. And today we have two great guests for you. Gloria Robbins, founder and CEO of Specialized Marketing Services, and Ari Suprin, Chief Operating Officer of Sonnets. Well, our first guest is Gloria, who founded Specialized Marketing Services, or SMS, in 1988. Before that, she served in senior positions at Taco Bell, Knott's Berry Farm, and the Walt Disney Company. She has helped her clients turn marketing data into revenue and has done this for companies like LG Electronics, Lufthansa, Heritage Foods, and Neutrogena. And you can find more information on her firm at www.teamsms.com. So, Gloria, welcome to Critical Mass.
Thank you, Doug. Glad to be here.
Good. Are you able to hear me okay?
Barely, but I can hear you.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
You're breaking up a bit.
Okay. Gloria, let's just start right off with telling us about your path to SMS. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got there?
Sure, absolutely. I, as you mentioned, I had been in marketing positions with Winchell's and Taco Bell and moved over onto the attraction side for a while at Knott's Berry Farm and then was hired by the Walt Disney Company for the Queen Mary project that was going to be the Seaport Marina project. I believe it was in 1983. They were looking at that, I'm wrong on that. It was 1986. And I moved over onto that project, which was very exciting. And it was going to be a huge Seaport Marina expansion, and it was going to be a second gate for Disney. And that's really where I began to learn about direct response marketing. So once that program was canceled, I knew that I was either going to be moved or without a job. So I started thinking about a path, actually, to turn what I had learned into my own company. And that's how I started thinking about developing SMS.
Wonderful. And that was 1988 that you started SMS?
I did start. I started the company in 1988, and I started it with a partner. She worked for me at Disney. I was director of sales and marketing. And we started it in the downstairs bedroom of my house, and we had two folding tables, two folding chairs. We had call waiting between us because we didn't want to pay for two phone lines at that time. And my first employees, non-paid, of course, were my two teenage sons and my 82-year-old mother. So we began our path on SMS and what our goal was to bring everything under one roof so that we didn't go through what we were going through when I was at the Queen Mary, and that was basically we were outsourcing everything. We were using a data company. We were I had salespeople that were actually putting together flyers with desktop publishing way back then, and then buying print, which, of course, never works when you don't have people that understand print actually buying it. And then we were using a letter shop, and then we had another fulfillment company that would handle the back end of our promotions. And I thought, you know, we were having so many challenges, and I was spending so much time looking at receivers to see why the project didn't go out on time or on budget, that I thought if this was all housed under one roof, we might be able to make a living at it. So, hence SMS today.
And you started out with what's popular today, a diverse workforce from teenagers to senior experience.
That's exactly right. That's exactly we're moving into our third generation. My 17-year-old granddaughter just joined us as our summer receptionist. So we're heading into our third generation right now.
Well, that's really exciting. Gloria, can you pin down a little bit more for me? What does SMS do for its clients?
We help our clients grow their business by putting together integrated direct response marketing programs. As I said, back when I was with Disney, it was all about direct mail, and today there are many channels of direct, and so we use cross-channel direct response to put together a very targeted message along with the right creative and images to go out to help our clients acquire customers and retain their existing customers. We also have an in-house award-winning design studio here where we are able to craft these, whether it's email, whether it's interactive, whether it's web design, or direct mail, which is still very, very popular in our integrated mix, to help them craft the right messages to go out to help them gain new customers, launch new products, and, again, help them retain customers.
So, Gloria,
so we're basically, yes.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a minute.
Okay. So explain to me, when you say direct response, of course, I think print immediately or direct mail. Can you define it for us?
Well, direct response is a media that will elicit or solicit a response from somebody. So we're not just putting out a glamour shot and an ad that tells people, showcases the product necessarily or a service. We are actually finding the right person that has the highest propensity to purchase that product or service that our client has to offer. So we are really doing a lot of back-end work before we even go out with a marketing message to take a look at who their best client is, what they look like, where they live, where they work, what their attributes are, and then we hone in on it and we find like clients. And from that, because we know about all these attributes, then again, we're able to craft the right message to them to talk about whether it's a service or a product that we're offering to them. And we find the people that have the highest propensity. We don't just, you know, years ago it was all about mass mailing, and direct response today is much more sophisticated. And it's very targeted, and best of all, it's trackable, and you can track your return on your marketing investment.
Great. Thank you. That I understand it much better now. Gloria, tell me a little bit, what business lesson have you learned in setting up your own company that sort of applies across the board to any owner running their own business today that you can share with our guests?
You know what? I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question, please? You cut out a bit.
Okay. So what business lesson have you learned that you'd like to share with our guests?
I think the lesson that I would that I've learned repeatedly is that you have to hire right. You have to deliver. Today, it's more important than ever to deliver exceptional client service. If you're not delivering that, it's expected. Good customer service has always been expected, but today it has to be exceptional. And the way to do that is by hiring right. You have to put the right people in the right positions, and you have to stay involved in the business yourself. I'm very involved. After 20 years, I'm still very involved in the business, and I'm looking at what's going out. I'm looking at what we're delivering to our clients because it's important. It isn't whenever anybody says, oh, wow, I want to start my own business, and I wanted to chat with you about it, because people will call because you're involved in the community, and they sometimes want to ask me that question, and I'll say, why do you want to be in business? And why do you want to be in business for yourself? And when I hear, well, I want to set my own hours and I want to be my own boss, well, when you're in business for yourself, everybody, all your clients are your bosses, so you just don't have one boss to answer to. You have many bosses to answer to. And if you want to set your own hours, you got to set them at 24/7, because that's what it takes to really run a successful business.
So what would you say then? I mean, 20-year success, that's phenomenal. So what do you credit? What single trait do you credit that ability to last 20 years?
I think tenacity and passion. At SMS, we've been really fortunate to have good people that have the drive and the initiative to solve problems, because that's what we do for our clients on a daily basis. And, you know, after 9/11, we lost over 62% of our business, and it took us over 3 years to grow it back. But we managed to do it because we all worked together as a team, and we were passionate about what we do. So I think we're still here and surviving, and we grew our business back, and then, of course, this economy hit. But I think it's imperative that you have it takes more than just a passion. You have to be tenacious, and you have to be resourceful to really hang in there throughout the years.
That's great. And tell me, I mean, technology is playing a big part in all of our businesses. How is it impacting you?
It's affected us a great deal, but we were fortunate. Today, my oldest son is our president, and my youngest son is our vice president of operations. And early on, way back in 1989, we saw that technology was really moving to the forefront. And so we began developing our own IT department and a web development department. And it plays a huge role in our business. In everything that we do, technology is involved. So we just feel that we have to stay on top of it. You have to keep moving forward with it, and you have to embrace it. If you don't, then business is just going to pass you by.
Okay. You know, Gloria, I don't want to forget to, I didn't want to forget to ask you this, but you've won some significant awards recently. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what they were?
Ah, yes, yes. We won the American Business Award for Best Creative Design nationally on a program that we developed, the launch kit for LG Electronics. And we just won on MFSA. We won three awards, actually. And one was, that I'm very proud of, was an award for our own client acquisition program, I should say. And we developed a program for ourselves instead of, we usually are just working for our clients, and we decided, especially in this economy, we're going to practice what we preach. And so we developed an acquisition dimensional kit that went out, and we got a 27% response rate with that, and we won an award for it.
Wow, that's amazing. Did I hear that right? Was that 27% response rate?
We got a 27% response rate. Yes, we did.
Gloria, what role do you think winning awards plays in business today?
I think it matters to people. when you're an award-winning company, and it shows that you have the talent and the initiative to put together good work. I think there's a lot of companies out there that don't go after these awards that are wonderful. But for us, being able to win these and share them with our employees, I think it gives them a sense of pride and accomplishment. So I know it spurs us on to do even better and try to win more awards. Now that we're winning national awards, we're pretty bonded as a team, and we feel pretty proud of what we're accomplishing.
That's great. And let me just mention for any of our listeners that there's a lot more information than Gloria's really given you. She's being a little too modest here about her awards. And if you go to their website, you're going to be able to read more about it. So it's really, I would encourage you to do that. So, Gloria, what do you see as the future for direct response marketing?
Well, I think it's wide open. Direct response has really moved to the forefront in the past few years, and it's continuously changing. I think that more and more marketing budgets are moving to direct. And when I say direct, I'm really talking about all channels of direct, including interactive, print, digital, mail, social, even PR. And the reason that those budgets are moving is because it allows for accountability and trackability. Clients today want to know how to find their right customers and deliver that right messaging along with the right visuals to best convey their offerings. And they need to look at these results and then from those results then refine their programs for even higher success rates. So that's what we do for them, and we help them build their business that way. I think that direct is always, as I said, going to be around, but it's going to evolve, and we plan on evolving with it.
Claire, everybody's talking about social media, social networking today. How does that tie into direct response marketing?
Well, it ties in because you're delivering a message, again, that's trackable and accountable. What we're doing is we're trying to get people to visit websites, visit our clients' websites. We're trying to gain recognition for our clients through it. It's not as trackable as something until we get them to click on a website, until we get them to respond to by picking up the phone. We give them various options to be able to respond. So, but it starts the buzz, and it starts people talking about the product or the service. And it really is so interactive that it's very necessary in the marketing mix today.
So obviously, you see this as not just a play toy. It is a true tool for getting to today's consumers.
It's very much a tool. It's very much a part of the integrated mix. You really need to have an integrated approach. It isn't any one tactic that's going to get you there today. And that's why we say we're an integrated direct response company. It's because we move across multiple channels and find the right channels that are going to get our clients the highest rate of response. So, yes, I do believe that social media is very helpful in that area. But it helps to support other initiatives as well.
And you know, it's very interesting. I mean, today's world of specialists, you're kind of going the opposite and putting everything together under one umbrella so that you can better track it and better coordinate it. Do I understand that right?
Well, that's exactly right. And that's why I started the company. Yeah, today we're housed under over 100,000 square feet. And we have over 40 full-time employees. And this is what they do. Is they are accountable for ensuring that our customers are getting great service and managing to put together good programs that net them a high rate of return on their investment.
Okay. So you're
we have is under one roof.
So you're actually able to measure a return on investment, an ROI, for your clients on their marketing dollars?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we do that on a consistent basis. And clients have to be able to give you some information back as well, because if the responses are coming into a website, we're certainly able to track that. If responses are coming into our call center, we're able to track that. If they're going into our clients' call center, then we are helping our clients. Right now we're putting together a program for a large insurance company that we're helping to train their call center so they will be able to actually give us the results back so we can take a look at it and we can measure those response rates.
You know, I want to just kind of hit you out of the blue on this. Most people look at marketing dollars as money that just goes into that big black hole. What advice can you give our listeners about how to make sure they're getting an ROI on their dollars?
Well, use direct response. I'm kidding. But you know what? I don't know that people are thinking their marketing dollars are going into a black hole. Today, more than ever, in this economy, is the time to step on the gas and really start looking at your marketing budgets. And instead of cutting them, you need to pay a lot of attention to where those dollars and cents are going. And more of it, you can just read about it, is going into direct response, because you are able to look at that return on investment. And you can finally target the customers that you're trying to go after. But it isn't just about getting new customers. Today, it's very important to retain the customers that you have. So customer retention has to be key to everybody out there that's marketing today. You need to keep those customers. It's much harder to get a new customer than it is to retain an existing customer. So those people that you have need to be acknowledged. They need to be addressed, and they need to be told, okay, why they need to continue to do business with you.
Okay. So tell me a little bit. You mentioned before the interview here, when we were talking about your going after ISO certification. Can you tell us about that?
Right, we are. We're going after ISO 9001 and TL, which is in the telecommunications field, 9000, and they're both quality and continual improvement processes. And it's all about the quality and continuous improvement, and we really believe in that, and we want to make sure that these types of certifications are on our resume. So more and more large organizations, especially, this is very relevant in the types of industries that we work in, especially the TL 9000, because that's telecommunications and we work in that space. And we believe that by holding these quality certifications, we'll be able to deliver an even higher quality product and service. And we believe that those certifications are becoming more and more important. And by 2012, I think I was reading, a lot of larger companies, you're going to need to hold these certifications to be able to do business with them.
You know, that brings up the interesting point. You know, as I am looking at an agency to use, what other certifications or criteria should a listener apply in looking, other than just, of course, going to SMS?
Well, you know, I think it's very important that you really delve deep into the company, and you need to make sure who it is that you're working with, and check on recommendations. Today, it's very difficult to get a true recommendation, because oftentimes people will give you their friend's name or somebody that they worked with. So you really have to get in. I suggest always really getting to know the staff, and it isn't just about dollars and cents today. I know a lot of people, they want to cut their budgets, so they need to really look for the quality firms and not just somebody that's going to give them a low price. Because when you're hiring the right agency, that person needs to be able to deliver on that promise. They have to understand the strategic plan. The plan is the first thing that you want to start with. If you don't have a plan, you know, you're not going to go anywhere. And you have to know that the company really understands, if you're looking for a direct response agency, certainly, that they understand the process and they know how to use the art and the science. It isn't just about pretty pictures. Direct is really a science. It's all data driven, and the company needs to know that. So look at their work, look at their results, check their qualifications, and while I am very proud of our awards, and it certainly boosts our morale here, as I said, direct isn't just about, I think it's great, and believe me, I'm very proud that we got best design and creative, but the reason we got it was because of the results that we got from that program as well. So they just need to remember, it isn't about just a beautiful picture. It's about what goes behind that picture and what kind of results the end product delivered.
Okay, great. Well put. Well, you know, before we wrap up, what else is there about you or your firm that we haven't talked about that you'd like to mention to our listeners today?
I think I'd like to leave them with the fact that, you know, a company is only as good as its employees, because they're the ones, when somebody says, the company this or the company that. Well, it is the sum of employees that make up the company. And here I think we have a really strong, dedicated, committed team to delivering a quality product. We're really passionate about what we do here, and our SMS motto is we're responsible, responsive, resourceful, committed, and we deliver. So I think we do that.
Okay. You know, there was one other question I wanted to ask before we end this, and you talked about strategic planning, which to me was kind of a surprise that a marketing firm is involved in that. Can you tell me a little bit about the role you play with your clients in strategic planning?
Oh, well, on strategic planning for our clients, what we're doing is we're planning, we're putting together their marketing plan, their direct response marketing plan. So that starts at a very high level, and we go into an in-depth questionnaire with them. We need to look at where they've come from, what they've done, what works, and then we really delve into it. We do competitive analysis, and we look at what the competition has done, and then we go into our intelligence factor, and we start crafting a plan that is going to work best for selling, again, their product or their service.
Great.
So our strategic planning, it's all about the marketing side of it.
Great. Well, Gloria, how does someone get in touch with you?
Well, my personal email address is G, as in Gloria, Robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S, at team, S-M-S, sammichaelsam.com. And my phone number, direct dial, is 714-955-5401. And our website is www.teamsms.com.
Gloria, thank you very much for a wonderful interview today. I mean, you gave us a very informative look on how to use the massive marketing data that we're all accumulating and how to make it really pay off. So I appreciate you being a guest here on Critical Mass, the radio show, and I look forward to seeing you on August 3rd at our annual executive conference.
Great. Well, thank you, Doug. It was a pleasure.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gloria.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Well, that was a great interview there. I think we got some facts that we don't always hear about. And Gloria's integrated approach to marketing, direct response marketing, is certainly welcome in today's environment. Well, let me move on to our next guest. It's Ari Suprad, who's going to share with us how his firm is refocusing their product differentiation by using customer-centric issues. He's been CEO or Chief Operating Officer of Sonnet since 2005, and before that he served as Marketing Director at Lutron. So, Ari, welcome to Critical Mass, and first off, clear up for me, what is your current title?
I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Dana Innovations, which is the parent company of Sonnet, as well as several other brands, and thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, great to have you here, Ari, and thank you for taking the time before the show, and thank you for the tour of your facility. It was really quite impressive, and I got very excited about some of your new products. I can't wait till they're really released.
Great, thanks. It was great having you down. It's something we're proud to show people, and it's a new way to look at audio, and we've set up our facility to really change the way people think about installed speakers.
Okay. Well, let's start out by telling the audience about your path to Sonnet.
Sure. Well, let's see. I grew up in northern New Jersey outside of New York City. So I'm new to California, only been here for about 3.5 years. But I went to undergrad work at Colgate University in upstate New York, and coming out of that, joined Lutron Electronics, which is a lighting control company, or more simply put, they make dimmers. And the owner of the company invented the dimmer in 1961. And I worked at Lutron for 7 years in various sales and marketing roles. About 2001, 2002, decided it was time for me to further my education. And I left Lutron and went to Columbia Business School to get an MBA in marketing and general management, and did their full-time program. I worked for IBM in between my 2 years in their marketing leadership development program. And coming out of Columbia, I rejoined Lutron in running their newly developed marketing department for the residential products. And I did that for 2 years until at a trade show, I was introduced to another inventor, in this case, Scott Struthers, the founder of Sonance that I work for now, who invented the first in-wall speaker in 1982. And Scott and his partner, Jeff Spencer, founded the company, and I joined the company as the chief sales officer, later took on marketing, and about a year ago, September, was promoted to the chief operating officer, and I've been running the business now for only about 6 months, basically since January.
Well, you couldn't have picked a better time to take over a company and run it, could you?
Well, it's been interesting and exciting, and you know, actually, in my opinion, it is a good time. It's a great time to make an impact.
And it's probably that attitude, which is why they picked you. So, all right, tell us a little bit about the firm and what it does, and forgive me for mispronouncing the name. It's been around for so long, I've never been corrected on it, and Sonance,
that's all right.
I've got it right now.
Well, people have their own pronunciations, so Sonance and Sonance, they both work. So I'll tell you a little about the history of the company. In 1982, Scott Struthers and Jeff Spencer were installers of hi-fi equipment in southern Orange County, San Juan Capistrano, and later San Clemente, where we're based now. And in around 1982, 1983, they were selling a lot of Bang & Olufsen audio products, which is a Danish brand that a lot of people are familiar with, very contemporary, beautiful industrial design, and perfect for certain homes. And they sold a lot of it. But they ran into a client who was building a more traditional home, and it just wasn't going to fit in that interior design. And Scott and Jeff put their heads together and kind of came up with an idea that they could take a regular old bookshelf speaker and modeling it after a light fixture in the home that they shared, that they rented, they developed a bracket to install a speaker in a wall. And this woman's home was the first installation. She loved it. It fit perfectly into her decor, and it didn't block any of the views out of her windows of the ocean. A couple of their competitive installers in Orange County and L.A. got wind of this and asked if they could buy some as well. Scott and Jeff continued to make them out of their garage for a few years and eventually closed down the installation side of the business and became a speaker company. I use that term loosely because in Scott and Jeff's opinion, they never really set out to be a speaker company. What they set out to do was be a design solution. It was a solution to ugly speakers in the client's room, and they developed a design solution. And the company grew from there and has come out with thousands of products and has sold all over the world, as well as has several brands it sells under, Sonance being the primary, which is targeted at the high end of custom installation. So we're talking custom homes in the $500 a square foot and up range is really the sweet spot of what we do. So we don't install. We're the vendor, the manufacturer, and we sell to custom installation audio-video dealers around the world who sell and install home automation and AV systems into high-end homes.
Thank you very much. That's an excellent description. Now I have a better understanding. Let me ask you a question that we ask all of our guests, because Rick and I are really focused on executive groups and the sharing of business information and solutions across industry lines. What particular experience or key lesson have you learned that you'd like to share with our business audience?
Well, from my experience, I think one of the key lessons to learn is the importance of differentiation. Not only how important it is to be different, but how to find what variable to be different based on. And what that comes down to, in my experience, is really understanding who makes the decision to purchase your product and what do they care about. And in our case, while it may seem on the surface like, well, that's easy, the homeowner decides, it's not entirely true. In many high-end new construction home projects, there are architects, interior designers, general contractors, audio-video dealers, as well as other trades involved in the project that are all part of the decision-making process. And they all have different variables that they're concerned with and different aspects of your product that they care about. And for us, that realization really changed our business completely about about 3 years ago, just before I started with the company, in that the in-wall speaker from 1983 to 2006 had become commoditized. The design that Scott and Jeff came up with in 1983 had been copied, and there were 50 or more companies making in-wall speakers that all looked the same. Now, they didn't all sound the same, and that's what helped Sonance grow quite a nice business and still is a leader within the category, but they all looked the same. And it occurred to our company that there was a new variable that we could differentiate ourselves on and charge more for our products, and that people would be happy to pay, and that was aesthetics. And it also tied into the idea that the architect and interior designer, increasingly so, in the higher end of the market, make the decisions for the homeowner. That's what they're being paid for, is to recommend products to the homeowner to purchase. And by changing the aesthetics of our product and improving them in 2006, we really changed the way the entire industry sells the category of in-wall and in-ceiling speakers around the world, and that in turn has really changed our fortunes for the better over the last few years and garnered us a lot of attention and several awards. So differentiation and understanding what to differentiate on and who you're differentiating to is really the lesson I like to carry forward, and it certainly has done well for us.
Very well put. I think it's becoming increasingly more important today, and as we deal with more educated consumers, as we deal with consumers that have access to more and more information on the products they're purchasing, it's essential that you differentiate your product. So you're certainly on the right track there. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Ari. Well, tell me, how are you addressing this current economy?
Well, we're actually faring very well. I'll tell you why. We went into 2009 with a very realistic plan, meaning that we set our revenue targets within the reality of the times that we are. It's a tough housing market, and that certainly has affected our industry. And we adjusted our revenue targets down. And then, most importantly, we adjusted our cost structure to be able to support those new realistic revenue targets. And with that, we've been able to get through the first 6 months of the year, and July is almost over, and we're right on track for 7 months of the year. Our fiscal calendar is the calendar year, right on our profit goals. And we did that by putting a realistic plan in place, and I like to say balancing our equation, bringing our costs in line to match that, and then executing on that plan. And it's a real team effort to do so, because as you adjust your costs, there's certainly compromises that need to take place, and everybody needs to do more than their job description in order to help out. And we've been doing that as a team 6 months in, and we've got six to go, but we're all dedicated to it. And it's been actually quite fun getting through the first 6 months of the year, because everybody recognizes that we're one of the few companies that can say that they're making their numbers in this economic time.
Well, you're absolutely in the minority of people that have told me it's been fun in the first 6 months, so I'll grant you that.
Well, one of the reasons I would say another thing I think is exceptionally important is it's tough out there, and so we find ways to celebrate not only the big wins but the small wins as well, to make sure that we find things that we can use as just gateposts along the way. They may not be the traditional making a monthly profit target, but it may be things like growing our average selling price to a certain target, because that's part of our strategy, and that we celebrate those. And we find as many ways as possible to celebrate, and we just held a nice open house and family day for all the employees to bring their families and friends over to the company last Friday to see what we're up to, and the goal there being to get everybody's loved ones to be fans of our company and what we're doing, and to root for our success. And I think things like that, having a great team and celebrating anything and everything, really equate to having fun despite what's going on in the economy.
Well, you know, it you make it sound simple, but I know it isn't. And I I applaud you for your emphasis on teamwork, because obviously none of us can do this alone, and it really takes a combined effort of everybody in the company, and it seems to be a common thread that both you and Gloria, our previous speaker, you know, are really using to their advantages in how to run a business.
Well, absolutely, and maybe it's you know, it's somewhat of an advantage I have of being new to running a business is the idea of doing it alone doesn't equate. I absolutely need a team, and we've got a great one here, and we're always trying to improve it. You know, I heard Gloria talk about hire right. I couldn't agree more. Hire the best people you can, and put the best team you can together, and I think those two things need to go hand in hand in that. You have to hire people that fit the team and that will enhance the team, not just the people with the best skills.
All right, you know, you mentioned that you're moving the direction of the company slightly to more of a design-oriented firm. How is that affecting your business and especially your client relationships?
Well, it's really meant everything to us, and the reason I told you about a little bit about the history of the company is, in many ways, 20-plus years later, it's getting back to our roots. And that's a really important thing because it's really in the DNA of the company, and the founders of the company are still quite involved, and they don't want to own a speaker company. They want to own a design company. And I think that's what, over the last 3 years, we've gotten back to. To more specifically answer your question, when you want to be a design company and you want to be thought of as a design brand, it's really important that you analyze all of the customer touch points with your company. Everything from the receptionist answering the phone to websites to trade show exhibit spaces to business cards. Every single touch point that the customer has with your brand, and they all have to fit one continuous brand image and one idea of design. And any one of them that falls down in that goal can really alter people's perception of what you are. And I think we've done a good job of that. I think we've got work to go. But I'll tell you what we have done has really changed the industry's perceptions of us and has put us in a different category where we are increasingly becoming a brand that architects and designers get to know, and that's a place that that really helps us because architects and interior designers on particularly high-end residential projects, although commercial as well, in many ways make the decisions about what products go into those projects. That's why they're hired.
So, Ari, what are the results that you expect to get from this strategy shift here?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, the two things that I really try to bring the entire company to focus on, particularly in these trying economic times, is that there's not as many homes being built. That's clear. But what we can focus on is two things that are measurable and actionable. One being market share. We can have more and more of the customers out there that sell to the end users not carry our competitors' products and start to carry our products so that they become Sonance dealers. And we have definitely done that, where we once put on 3 to 4 dealers in a month. On average, I think last month we put on 15 new dealers. So we are definitely taking market share. And the second thing that we can focus on, and I mentioned it earlier, is focus on average selling price. This whole concept of design and aesthetics, it ultimately has to result in a profitable business for us. And what it's done for us is it has allowed us to bring products to market that we can sell for a higher price and that our customers can sell to end users, to consumers, for a higher price. And everybody is willing to pay that price because we're bringing them value that they care about. We're bringing them something different, as I talked about earlier, that they care about. And it really is all based upon a very simple, I like to say fact, not opinion, which is that more wealthy consumers will pay a premium for how things look in their custom home than how they sound. And before, where if we wanted to sell a higher priced product, we had to tout its acoustic benefits. We can now show somebody the difference between our product and a competitor's product or the standard product and show them a better aesthetic that when they're spending the kind of money that people are spending in luxury construction on artwork, wallpaper, carpeting, furniture, window treatments and everything else that goes into these projects, they're absolutely willing to pay a premium to make everything look refined and seamless and precise, especially for a product like ours, which ultimately is background music in a dining room, a living room, and a kitchen that are all design spaces to begin with. So focusing on average selling price and focusing on market share, those two things, you know, when you think about it at the end of the day, if we can have more people selling our products and selling them at a higher price, when this market comes back, even if it doesn't get back to the same size it once was in terms of housing market, it's a recipe for growth. There's almost no way around it. More people selling our products at higher prices, it helps us and it helps our customers well.
Well, you know, I'm sure glad to hear your explanation there, too, because I know that when I was in your showroom there, I was just frankly blown away by your designs. I mean, they just were innovative and new, but I really flunked the test on telling the difference in the acoustics. I mean, between the top end and the mid end and the low end,
they both sounded great. Good.
They all sounded good, but the design, I mean, I left there with absolutely committed to obtaining your new products as they hit the market here. So,
well, you're not alone out there, and quite frankly, the people that are building the higher end homes typically can't tell the difference between one pair of speakers or another, particularly at the level we're playing at. They all sound great, and 1 out of 10 just wants the best sound they can because they want the best, but they all care about how this custom dream house that they're building looks. And so aesthetics is something tangible. You can look at one thing and another and say, well, that looks better than another. It's a little bit more abstract to say that I can hear a difference between two speakers, but to see a difference is a very tangible benefit that a consumer can see and is very willing to pay a premium for.
Great. Well, Ari, as we kind of wrap up here, is there anything else about you or your organization that we haven't talked about today that you'd like to pass on to our listeners?
Well, just that in coming up with something to differentiate our business on, I think there's an added benefit of that, which is that we can now have a strategy that can act as a filter for everything we do. And our strategy is differentiation through design. And what that serves for us is that we don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about what are we going to do next and should we do this and should we do that, because we can use that filter to any and all ideas that come our way and say, is this a new idea, is this new business venture about differentiation by design or not? And if it's not, we don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. And if it is, then we sit down and decide whether it's something we should do. And that's got a great benefit in terms of focusing a business. And with that, I think we do have something that very much fits that we're very excited about, and that in these trying economic times, we're actually going to be launching a new business in September at our industry's annual trade show called CEDIA, which is September 9th through 12th in Atlanta. And the new business is called Trufig, T-R-U-F-I-G, and it takes the idea of totally flush speakers that we pioneered in 2006, and it applies it to other products that are found on walls and ceilings in high-end homes and businesses, such as lighting control, keypads, power plugs, data jacks, all these things that stick out of the wall. And what it does for them is it brings common color, common aesthetic, and a completely flush aesthetic to all of these products from other manufacturers using an installation kit and a design that we've pioneered, and we're very excited about it. Every architect and interior designer we've shown it to just goes crazy for it, because they've been looking for something like this forever. And we're very excited about it, and it's also a message to our industry and to our customer base that in trying economic times, never stop innovating, and we're gonna walk the talk at the show and show people what we've been up to for the last year and a half developing and incubating this startup business. And we're about a month away from launching it, and it's an exciting time.
Well, thanks very much, Ari, and it is exciting. You did give me a preview of that product, and boy, I haven't seen anything like it. So last thing, how does someone get in touch with you or your firm?
Sure. Best place to go is the website. I can direct you to sonance.com, S-O-N-A-N-C-E. And then also the new site that we just launched for the new business called Trufig, T-R-U-F-I-G.com as well. Great. And if anybody wanted to get a hold of me, I can be reached at ari@sonance.com.
Ari, thank you very much for joining us today on Critical Mass and for sharing the exciting new programs that Sonance is involved in this year and for your success.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Great. Thanks a lot,
Bye.
Ari. Bye. Well, that was certainly inspiring. You know, it's not often we get today to hear companies that are hitting their goals and their targets in the first 6 months. And, you know, that just goes to prove it can be done. Well, you know, as we wrap up here, let me give you an update on two great opportunities that are available in the next couple of weeks. The first is that every year Rick and I sponsor a half-day conference to honor our radio show guests and our Renaissance Executive Forum members and their guests. And we're honored to have on August 3rd at the Center Club Dr. Coley and Damian Navarro speaking at our 2009 conference, bringing a powerful message to our members and guests about two timely and critical topics, branding and social media. You know, I don't know about you, but both these topics are becoming more and more critical to Rick and I as we expand our business. The branding issue is one we continue to kick around because we offer our services under multiple names. We have our Renaissance Executive Forums for executive roundtables, the Coaching Perspective, the Power as CEO Peer Groups, Critical Mass, the book, Critical Mass, the radio show, and now Critical Mass for Business. And we're working on consolidating all of this under one website as www.criticalmassforbusiness. But we're hoping to get some really good input from Dr. K on how to do this. And as far as social media, well, between our multiple websites, our blogs, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and iTunes podcasts, we're certainly busy, but the question is, how effective are we? And I'm sure Damian is going to expose us to a whole new level of social marketing. So if you're interested in learning more about those two topics, be sure to drop us a line. You can look on our website, www.criticalmassforbusiness, forbusiness.com. Or you can look on our website for latalkradio.com/critical and get a hold of us there. Second opportunity, well, let me just say, since it's coming up quickly, you might also drop an email to Rick, which is rfranzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I, at executiveforums, F-O-R-U-M-S, .com. Second big opportunity is in the coaching field. I've been involved in the coaching world for the last 12 years and have been a master certified coach by the International Coach Federation for 10 years. And if you have any interest in knowing about more about the coaching profession, I would strongly urge you to consider attending the August 13th meeting of the Orange County chapter at the Irvine Marriott Hotel. This is a unique opportunity for you. It's once in a lifetime. You can find out more about it by going to www.icfforangecounty.com. Excuse me, www.icforangecounty.com. Well, that wraps up our broadcast for today. We're looking forward to you joining us in August. We'll be with you next Monday and next Tuesday. This is Doug Gefeller signing off, and I can't wait for Rick to get back. It's great having a partner that carries the load. So have a great day. Thanks for listening to Critical Mass.
You're listening to Critical Mass with Rick Franzi.